Right. Well, we are glad to be back in here tonight sharing God's Word. The last time I backed up just a little bit and to refresh, nearly the whole time was the Lord just kind of took over and we refreshed about the whole hour. But it was good. It was good. And so tonight I just, in talking about, the love of Christ and our theme has been on prayer and what motivates our prayer, why we pray, how we pray, where we pray, when we pray, all those kinds of things. But what we were talking about was, the Christ's love and grasping and understanding. And what we kind of ended up with was this, that His love is wide and the fact that it covers the breadth of our own experience and reaches out to the whole world. Isn't that amazing? So it's wide, it's also long, it continues the length of our lives and right on into eternity. It's also high. It rises to the heights of our celebration and our elation. His love is deep. It reaches, and this one is important, especially for the day that we live in, the times that we are faced with right now. His love is deep, and it reaches to the depths of discouragement. It reaches to the depths of despair, and even to death. Amen? His love is deep. Various attempts have been made literally to identify these four dimensions as wide, long, high, and deep with the four arms of the cross or the four dimensions of the heavenly city as described in Revelation chapter 21. Or the four dimensions of the universe, north, south, east, and west. But most likely they should all be kind of taken together as referring to the all-encompassing majesty of the love of God. Listen, there ain't nothing like the love of God. There's nothing that compares to the love of God. I don't care what you have, it's not that big. So let me just say this. How big is the love of Christ? Well, how wide, how long, how high, how deep? Prayers, Paul prays that we will know. The reality is that if you and I have been saved, if you and I have been set free by the power of the blood of Jesus, if you have the wherewithal to remember the pit, that the Bible talks about the pit, that He has lifted us up out of. If you can go back and remember that place and come to the realization of the love that it took to get you out of there, that's a lot of love. See, we may never fully grasp the measure of Christ's love for us, but these verses that we had talked about give a hint of the dimensions. It's as wide as the outstretched arms of the crucified Savior, embracing the Jew and the Gentile, the rich, the poor, the male, the female, reaching out to whosoever will. It reaches low enough to touch the most wretched sinner and high enough to reconcile them to a holy God. Isn't that amazing? It reaches the love of Christ is big enough to have room for the divorced and the never married, the sexually abused and the abuser, the woman who has had the abortion and the man who caused her to do it, the person addicted to alcohol or to pornography. How big is His love? It's as big as the cross. Isn't that amazing? It's as big as the cross. So, the question that I want for us to begin with tonight as we move forward is, why should we pray? Why should we pray? I mean, if He already knows our thoughts, why should we even pray? Well, I want to look at John chapter 15 and verse 5. John chapter 15 and verse 5. He says there, I am the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. So every branch that continues to remain in the vine will produce much fruit. The fruit could be new converts or the fruit of the Spirit, or it could be both. I get into John chapter 15 and I can never just leave it alone. You know when you find something that is powerful, something that is transitional or transformational in your life, you want to share that. I mean, when you got saved, you wanted to share it, right? I want to teach you something because it really doesn't have a lot to do, if you will, with our topic of prayer, but yet it does. And so I want to go back to John chapter 15, and hun, you don't have these verses, you won't have this, but I feel like I just have to share this. Because how many of you just read your Bible? Do we just read our Bibles? Let me ask you this question. How many of us study our Bibles? Because there's a difference between reading your Bible and studying your Bible, and I'm going to explain it to you and show it to you here in just a minute exactly what I mean, starting in John chapter 15, verse 1. It says, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Right? Goes on to say, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You're already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. The verse that we just read. I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. What does a vine dresser do? A vine dresser is one that prunes the vines, attaches them to the trellis, all those kinds of things. He watches over them and makes sure that they're healthy and cuts them back or ties them, all these kinds of things, right? Watch this. I'm the vine, the true vine, and my Father's the vine dresser. Every branch, you've got to read the words. You've got to see what the words are saying here. This is why you can't just read your Bible like it's a story. You've got to understand what's being said here. That's why it's important for you to get a good study Bible that you can use. Look at what it says here in verse 2. Every branch in me that does, what did I say? Somebody tell me what I said. Pardon me?
Every branch in me.
Every branch in me. Yeah. In me. In me. Tracking with me? Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. What did I just say? He takes it away. What does that mean? Pardon me? Snip, snip? What'd you say? What do you mean he takes care of it? Snip, snip? Somebody else? Removed? That follows right along with snip, snip. Right? Wrong. That's exactly the responses that I want, because in our American English, takes away says to us, you're out of here. But in the original language, if you'll read your footnotes in your Bible, if you'll get in your Bible and study it, you see there, it takes away is the word aereo, A-I-R-O, aereo. It's the same word. The word literally, the meaning of takes away in the original language is lifts up. lifts up. I'll do the preaching. All right? Lifts up. Lifts up is the same, aereo is the same word that they said, that they used when they lifted up Jesus on the cross. Aereo is the same word that they used in the Old Testament time, or a translation of it, when they had to look up or whatever it was to the cross, when the snakes, you know, were killing everybody and all that. Are you tracking with me? Look at this. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, see, the word in me is the key. If you're in Him, no snip snip. Okay? If you're in Him, no snip snip. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit. Why wouldn't it bear fruit? Why do you suppose it would, in relation to the word takes away, which we now know means lifts up? Here's the story. This is the Americanized version of what's happening here. The vine dresser, God the Father, is going through the vineyard. The vine dresser is walking up and down the rows of the vines, and he's finding those vines, those branches that have fallen off of the trellis, and now they're laying down in the dirt. They're laying down in the muck, and the rain and the water that they've watered it with is getting on the leaves, and the mud and everything has coated the leaves, and now they're having a hard time getting oxygen from the air and the sunlight because they're all dirty, right? So the vine dresser comes through. He literally picks those up, washes the dirt off, reattaches them to the trellis so they can what? And do what? Produce fruit. Exactly. That's what I wanted you to get. That's the picture that I want you to understand. Listen, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, he lifts up, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. That you are already clean because the word which I have spoken to you, abide in me and I in you, and as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, listen, unless it abides in the vine. Because He's the vine. So if we don't stay attached to the vine, we're not going to produce fruit. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered and gathered and thrown into the fire, and they're burned. That would be snip snip. Yes, Dennis, that would be snip snip. But what's the key words? Pardon me? And what was the other key word? Who does not abide in me? If you abide in him, no snip snip. If you do not abide in him, snip, snip. See? It's all about staying attached to the vine, regardless of what the devil will tell you. Listen to me. Regardless of what the devil, there's no hope for you. You're just too bad. You messed up too. No, I'm still attached. I'm hanging. I might be down in the mud and the dirt, but I'm still attached to the vine, and I just know that the vine dresser is going to be coming by any time now and is going to clean me up. Hello. Glory to Jesus. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and bears fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Every branch that continues to remain in the vine will produce fruit. Well, Pastor, I'm not producing fruit now. Well, you might tomorrow.
This fruit could be new converts. The fruit of the Spirit displayed in our lives should attract people to Jesus and thereby make them new members of God's vine. Listen, you never know when it's going to happen or when it's going to come. I was sitting out in my truck last night doing my paperwork, filling out my logbook, filling out my daily sheet, running all my numbers, doing all this kind of stuff. And I heard Tammy having a talk with somebody, and she said, well, he's still out in his truck. So this person came out to my truck, and we had a little short conversation, and this person said, you know, I'd like to have a conversation with you one of these days about the Bible. I said, you would? He said, yeah. I said, I'm your man. We can have that conversation. We can have that conversation. I will have that conversation. Completely out of the blue, completely unprovoked, completely caught me off guard. Always, church, we have to be ready. The fruit of the Spirit displayed in our lives should attract people to Jesus and thereby make them new members of God's vine. My ultimate desire is to see this individual. You know how they graft things to the vine? You know, I've never done it, but I understand they like cut part of it off and then it makes like an open wound, and then they make an open wound on the other, and then they put the two together and somehow attach it, and it begins to get nourishment out of the vine, I hope we get tied together. You know what I'm saying? I'm hoping somehow God knits us together. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus explains here, Jesus' emphasis rather here was not to dwell on our glaring inadequacies, which I don't know about the rest of you, but your pastor has some glaring inadequacies. And so, not to dwell on those, but to remind us of the incomparable adequacy that comes from our relationship with Him. Why? Because I'm in His vine. I'm attached to His vine. I'm getting nourishment and strength from His vine. When I feel completely inadequate, I'm still getting nourishment from His vine. Amen? So apart from Him, you and I can do nothing. Apart from Him, you and I can do nothing. What's the reverse of that? In Him, there ain't nothing I can't do. I'll pay somebody for an amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We have to get our minds wrapped around that. Without Him, we can't do anything. With Him, there's nothing we cannot do. Every branch that doesn't continue to remain in the vine is removed from the vine. The branch seems physically attached, but it's not organically part of the plant because it does not participate in the life-giving flow of the vine. Sooner or later, the branch will drop off and will have to be thrown away. So, but in light of this, we can't forget, again, what it says in the first three verses. I'm the true vine. My Father's the vine dresser. Every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You're already clean because of the Word which I've spoken. Have you received His Word? Do you have His Word down inside of you? Are you reading His Word or are you studying His Word? Call me crazy, but I think I shared this a while back, but I have this app on my phone, and as I go to sleep at night, it reads me Bible stories. Amen? It reads me Bible stories. And so far, I've never heard the end of any of them. You know what I mean? Because I'm asleep. But that's still going on, and I believe it's still going in me.
I believe it's still, my spirit is still receiving it. However you have to get God's Word in you, get God's Word in you. Pray.com is the app that I listen to at night. And there's Wyatt and these other people that read to you and whatnot. And they tell you, they talk, when it starts, you know, you find, you know, get in a good comfortable position in your bed and take a deep cleansing breath and just relax and let the stress come out. I mean, they'll walk you through this whole process, and it's usually about the time they say, now just, you know, relax your eyes closed. He gone. So sometimes I have a hard time getting through the introduction. He gone. But I know it's still going in me. And so, you know, anyway, that was just a free advertisement, I guess. But, it, you know, I just want to encourage you. It's kind of crazy. But, you know, Tammy, I go to bed sore. I'd be in bed right now if I was at home, I promise you. But Tammy, you know, it's hard for her to be able to go to bed at this time of the night. And so she's watching the news or doing work and bills and, you know, her job. And so I hear those kinds of things going on out there, and it's a distraction to me. But this that is an on purpose kind of noise, it just puts me, I'm just out. And so I just want to encourage you to do something to get God's Word. Remember that in verse 2 it says, every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit he takes away. And remember that the phrase he takes away literally means he will lift you up, clean you up, and reattach you to the trellis. He will lift you up, he will clean you up, and he will reattach you to the trellis. Okay, so that's talking about why we should pray. How should we pray? Well, Romans 8 and 26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Which cannot be uttered. That's why we pray in the Spirit. It's why we pray in tongues. Couple reasons. Number one, the devil don't know what in the heck you're talking about. The devil can't understand it. The good news is, more often than not, you and I don't understand it either, but our spirit, listen to me, our spirit is communicating with his spirit. And your spirit and his spirit get to talking. Hello? Things begin to change. In the same way that our hope gives us fortitude, the Holy Spirit helps us in our distress. And so at times our weakness is so intense that we don't even know what we should pray for, nor how we should pray. And it is at those times that the Spirit voices our request for us. He intercedes by appealing to the only one that can help us, who is God Himself. Amen? So, we may not know the right words to say, but the Holy Spirit does. I might not know how to articulate the way I feel right now, but the Holy Spirit in me can communicate to the Holy Spirit with Him, and things can begin to get straightened out. With groanings to God, His groanings to God become effective intercession on our behalf. So the companionship then of the Spirit in prayer is one of the themes of what we're studying here. And the Spirit literally joins in to help us, expressing for us what we cannot fully express for ourselves, which is how we should pray. Have you ever hit the wall? Have you ever just hit the wall? I'm so flabbergasted. I'm so overwhelmed. I'm so taken aback. I don't even know how to pray. Rabashatarabuku. Just, hey. Right? When our son was laying in the hospital in Wauwatosa, Wisconsin,
And the hospital and the Navy are faxing documents back and forth about what they're going to do with his body because he's going to die. How do you pray about that? When both my daughters were in a horrible car crash and were being flown in and ambulanced into hospitals and you don't know what condition they're in, all you know is it's bad. How do you pray? I don't know how to pray. When you hear reports that your son fell off of a fishing boat out in the ocean, how do you pray? When your wife's laying in a hospital and she's at level 4 of life support and they don't know if she's going to... How do you... Hello? It's in those kinds of moments you better know that you have the Holy Ghost inside of you. Because you don't have a clue what to say, but He does. Glory to God. Every one of our kids their lives have literally been threatened. Every one of them. And my wife too. I could tell you of things that have happened in my life that could have very easily been my last. But it wasn't. The enemy does not like you and I. You have to understand that. He hates you. He would just as soon you were dead, shut up, buried and gone, forgot about. The companionship. When's the last time you looked at your relationship with the Holy Ghost as a companionship? He's our companion. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Our companionship, the companionship of the Holy Spirit in prayer is what we're talking about. And the Spirit literally joins in to help us and express for us what we cannot fully express for ourselves. So again, how should we pray? Number one, utilize all forms of prayer, all forms that prayer takes. How many of you understand that prayer is much more than you and I just talking to God? I mean, instantly the first thing we think about when somebody says, or have you prayed, is have I talked to God? By and large. Well, look at this. In utilizing all forms of prayer, number one, have you thought about adoration? Adoration is a form of prayer, to adore Him. Adoration is a form of... How about confession? How about confession? Confession? This is a Pentecostal church. Confession? Yeah, confess your faults one to another. That's a Bible principle. Adoration, confession, petition. To petition the Lord. How about thanksgiving? God, I'm so thankful. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Hello? We don't sing those kind of songs anymore. We ought to. Church, we ought to just take time every now and again and just count your blessings. Thanksgiving. How about meditation? As we pray, we ought to trust the Spirit to make perfect what is imperfect. Here's a tough one. Listen during prayer. We've been taught in our Western culture that prayer is me talking to Him.
Let me ask you husbands something. Attention here, husbands. Hey. Gene, over here. Attention. When was the last time you had a conversation with your wife and you were the only one talking? Hey. Am I preaching? Is that good preaching? Is that a good illustration? I guarantee you, in my house, that ain't the way it works. Nope. And why do we think that it should work that way with one that knows infinitely more than we could ever even hope to think we know? When we begin to talk to God, we just kind of like vomit our list on Him. Hello? And then we walk off like that's the end of it. Has it ever crossed our mind that He might have something to say to us? Listen during prayer. We ought to ask the Spirit to search our hearts and our mind, and then we should be silent. Listen to what He might have to say. Here's one. Practice prayer as a habit. Practice prayer as a habit. I can remember when we were downtown in the old assembly church down there, and I was pretty brand new as a Christian, and I can remember Willa Dean and Mary Reedy and some of the others in that place would go in a room off to the side. And it had a solid core door on it. And it was like, when that door shut, it went chunk. I mean, you knew that door was shut. And they were in there crying out to God for the service. And for the city and for whatever that. And if you went in that place, it was a scary place for somebody that was brand new because there was stuff going on in there. Now, there was nothing in there to be afraid of, but it kind of was like overwhelming. We need more of that. I mean, we have prayer time on Sunday morning in our nursery at 8:30 a.m. in the morning on Sunday in the nursery. There ought to be so much prayer going on in our nursery at 8:30 on Sunday morning that when we have church at 10 o'clock and moms and dads take their babies in there, the babies ought to be getting filled with the Holy Ghost just by going into place. Amen. Ha! Practice prayer as a habit. Combine prayer with other regular spiritual disciplines. Disciplines? What are spiritual disciplines? Well, turn to Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 8 and read about it. You can find out for yourself. I don't have time to go through it all tonight. I'll give you something to do later. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 8, spiritual disciplines. Here's one. Confess sins that the Spirit points out. Confess them. Acknowledge them. Ask God to forgive them. Let's look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14 says, "Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." According to His will, He hears. Did I say according to His will, He hears us? Because church, we pray for stuff that's not according to His will all the time and then get bent out of shape when He doesn't answer our prayers. Does this work? Is this working? Hello?
Hello?
Is it true? Am I speaking the truth? Now this is the confidence that we have in Him. See, believers can also be confident that God will listen to their prayers. Confidence means boldness or freedom to speak to Christ. Confidence means boldness or freedom to speak to Christ. And again, I go back to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. Anybody know what that says right off the top? We can therefore come boldly into the throne room and there make our petitions known to God, and He will give us the grace and the help and all that. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what it's talking about. You don't have to whimper and whine going in there. You can listen. You can just walk in there. Amen? Read it. In time of need. When you need something, when was the last time you, your child, or even you, got injured or something, and you needed some help, and you just said, help. Your child's laying there with a broken arm, and it's going, help. Anybody? Help. That ain't the way we do it. Is it? They are screaming. You can hear them for 2 country miles. Amen? And they're not worried about waking anybody up. They're not worried about being a distraction. They are yelling because they need something. I'm not saying scream at God, but you know what? It wouldn't probably freak Him out if we did. He already knows that way we feel. We need to come boldly into the throne room of God and obtain. When you obtain something, it means you receive possession of it, right? So when we obtain something from God, that we might obtain help, grace, and mercy from God. Look, God, I need some help, and I need it right now. I got a problem. Amen? Listen, God, if you've got a moment, I've just, you know, I'd like to talk to you about something. You're not too busy. That's not what He's looking for. He said, come boldly. Come boldly. Amen? Amen. Think about last week's message on Wednesday night when the missionary was talking about David going out and confronting Goliath. How did David go out there? He went out there in the boldness of the Holy Ghost. He didn't go out there and say, now devil, you big old 9-foot-9-inch-tall giant. Listen. I'm going to have to hit you with a rock. And when you fall over, I'm going to cut your head off with your sword. All right? Is that cool? Snip, snip. That guy. I don't know what I'm going to do with him. That is not the attitude that David took. He had a level of boldness, and his boldness came from the Spirit of God. His boldness came from remember what we was talking about earlier? A companionship with the Lord. We can be confident in our prayers. We have boldness and freedom. Our prayers will be answered whenever we ask Him for anything that is in line with His will. Now, if you've got a 9-foot-9-inch-tall giant standing out there ridiculing and mocking the armies of the God of Israel, and it's completely okay for you to walk out there and say, you know, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? I'm not sure that was a compliment.
But David knew who he was. So how then can believers pray that way? How do we know what God's will is? Well, it happens as a part of our growth in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And have you ever noticed when people first get saved, it seems like every time they pray, their prayers get answered. Why is that? Because it's like he's baiting you. It's like he's baiting you. He wants you to pray. He wants to develop communication. And so you begin to pray. And he, you know what? People that are brand new Christians, they're not praying for outlandish things. They're praying for pretty simple stuff. And God's answering those prayers. And as they go on, it builds their faith. And it gets them to communicate more and more with God. That's what I'm talking about right here. When we ask for anything that is in line with God's will, he's going to answer. So how do we pray? It's part of our growth. And when people choose to place our will, it is not just us. In this situation. You know how I know? Because in the Gospels, Jesus said, here's my will. Get rid of this cup. Right? Isn't that what he said? But then he qualifies it by saying, nevertheless, Father, not my will, your will. See, even Jesus had to pray in line with the will of God. So when we choose to place our will in line with God's will, the Holy Spirit then this Holy Spirit that is in us will teach us to understand God's will more completely. How many of you know that God's will, I guess I don't even know completely God's will. I think that's safe to say. Because He's growing me, and as we grow, things change. Amen? So, we place our will, we make the choice to place our will in line with God's will, and then the Holy Spirit comes in and teaches us to understand. So the Holy Spirit then reveals God's will as it is taught in the Bible. The Holy Spirit in turn helps us to pray in line with God's will. You can read about it in Romans 8, verse 26 and 27. But for sake of time tonight, let's look at Jude chapter 1 and verse 20. But you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in your heavenly language, praying in tongues, praying in the Holy Ghost, however you want to say it. So the believers could stand against the false teachers if they just followed Jude's advice in four areas. Number one, they must build on the firm foundation of their faith, standing strong and unified. Church, that's why it's important to come to church. That's why it's important to be faithful to the house of God, to come in and to fellowship with the believers. Why? So that we are strong and unified. If people don't come to church, they don't know what the church is doing. They can't even know by the web, really. You know, it's hard to be unified if you're not together. And so we have to come together, we have to stand strong, and we have to be unified. We can do this by staying close to other believers and continuing in worship, including taking the Lord's Supper. These are all vital aspects of community, vital aspects of being unified, vital aspects of standing strong with one another. The second thing is, number one, build on the firm foundation of faith. Number two, Jude encouraged the believers to continue
continue to pray in the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit. Pray in the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, when you get wound up in prayer, I've been in prayer meetings. I've prayed, and you know, sometimes it gets pretty loud. Sometimes you just be praying in the Holy Ghost, and you're just trying to be nice and polite to everybody around and quiet, and this, and the next thing you know, you're just stomping around, bless God, and you're kind of gritting your teeth, and you're just praying, and you're getting louder and louder and louder. It's the Holy Spirit welling up inside of you, doing battle on your behalf. And we cannot be intimidated by that. Jude encourages us as believers to continue to pray in the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit prays on behalf of the believer. The Holy Spirit opens our minds to Jesus, and the Holy Spirit teaches you and I as believers more about the Lord. So prayer then is the lifeline that connects all Christians to the Savior. As believers, we must never stop praying. Listen, church, to stop praying in the spiritual realm is like stopping eating in the physical realm. Listen, you can make it 3, maybe 4 days with no water. You can make it a few weeks with no food, but eventually you're going to succumb. And if we quit praying, we will die spiritually. Let me wrap this up here with this. In 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 15, it says, "What is the conclusion then? I will pray in the Spirit, and I will also pray with understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with understanding." So Paul's talking here in verse 14, or chapter 14 and verse 18, that he himself speaks in tongues. And so he wrote in the first person here, including himself in the situation. His answer is that he will do both. He will pray and sing in tongues with his spirit, and he will pray and sing in words that he understands. That's what he's encouraging you and I as believers to do. Praying in tongues was for Paul a practice that edified him, even if he did not understand what he was saying. Listen, I don't know if you're tongue talkers or not. I'm a tongue talker. I'm baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. I understand that. When you get saved, you get the Holy Spirit. But that's a different thing than being baptized in the Holy Ghost. They're two different things. And I can tell you this, when I come to prayer, when I make it to prayer meeting, and when I'm in that place where I just begin to pray, listen, I don't have any idea what I've been praying about. I just know that I've been praying, but when I'm done and that release comes, we used to call it praying through, you feel like $1 million. You're like, woo! Amen? I'm telling you, it happens. Praying in tongues was a practice that edifies. Even when you don't understand, praying with the Spirit may be charismatic. Singing in the Spirit or singing spontaneously to previously composed songs. Listen, if you just begin to sing in the Spirit, just praying in tongues, but you have some kind of rhythm or melody comes to your mind, just let it fly, man. You're worshiping God in that. You cannot go wrong in worshiping in the Spirit. You can't do it. You cannot go wrong with that. I'm going to stop right there. I know we're a little bit early, But I don't want, we're going to start next Wednesday, we're going to start talking about hindrances in prayer. Hindrances in prayer. How many of you know that there are hindrances? The enemy will hinder you. The enemy will stop you from praying. The enemy will do anything he can. I'm gonna go pray right now. Ring, ring, ring. Your phone will go. Somebody be over there beating on the door. The kids are crying. You know, they're bleeding to death. That's the truth. The enemy will do anything he can to hinder you from praying. I'm just going to go to the house and I'm just going to pray and man, I just got to talk to God. Open the door and you walk in the house. John Wayne's on. Hey. Chisholm. I'm there. 2 hours later, she's just staring at the TV. The Lord's going, hey. What about me? Well, the Duke was here. Yeah. You know what I'm See what I'm talking about? How many besides the pastor does that happen to? Man, we got all these good intentions and just like that, squirrel! Squirrel, them squirrels will get you. They'll distract you. Amen? Is this helping? Is this helping? We're going to start talking specifically about hindrances in prayer. Isaiah chapter 59, and I'm just going to bait you with this. One of the hindrances that we're going to talk about, and you ain't going to like it, but I'm going to plant this seed in your spirit anyway so it'll be chewing on you the rest of the week. Iniquities and sins. Hindrances in prayer. Iniquities and sins. Isaiah 92 and verse 2. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you so that He will not hear. Woo! Amen. See you next Wednesday. See you next Wednesday. We're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about this. We're going to have to look at this. We're going to have to check this out. I want to encourage you, if you're watching by way of the internet tonight, either come here next Wednesday or please at least tune in, because I'm telling you, these things are important. And if we say, look, maybe we feel like we've got too much stuff going on in our life. Maybe I feel like I've got too much sin in my life. I don't even want to hear about it. Because ignorance is bliss. Well, here's the deal. You've already heard too much to plead ignorance. Just tonight, in what I've said, in this one verse, you've heard too much. You will be held accountable. So come, let's learn, let's understand about hindrances in prayer and understand that sin offends our God and separates us from, sin separates us from God. Church, we have to understand that. And we want to talk about it. Father God, I pray for every person tonight that's watching by way of the internet. I pray, God, tonight for every person in the sound of my voice right here in this house tonight. I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit would well up, God, every place in me and in us where sin and iniquity rises up. God, help us to kill it and squelch it and cast it out. Lord, renew unto us the joy of our salvation. Cast us, O God, not away from thy presence, Lord, but renew a right spirit within each and every one of us, Father. And we'll be careful to give you the glory and the honor and the praise in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said amen and amen. God bless you. Hey, I love you. Thanks for joining us tonight by way of the internet. Pray that you be right back here with us on Sunday where we will hear again from God's Word. Anyway, have a great rest of your week. Have a good night and God bless you.